You want a smart, lasting clean, do you?
I do.
Zero Res. We all want a smart, lasting clean, and Zero Res can do that for you.
That tagline could fit so many products. Shout out to Zero Res for putting that together. It's like, you want a smart, lasting clean? Get Crest toothpaste. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can do that too. Yeah.
Go to the clinic if you want a smart, lasting clean. Hey, Atlanta United playing on Friday. Unexpectedly so. Awesome.
That's only because you gave up. I never gave up.
We ain't scared.
Hawks are winning the opener last night, getting ready for Charlotte. Zachary Richesse, 7 points in his debut for the Atlanta Hawks. Georgia Tech at Virginia Tech on Saturday at noon. Georgia off as they get ready for Florida. And, of course, Falcons,
Apple
Buccaneers
jeans,
on Sunday.
Boots win the Is that Florida?
I just love when the Techs face off, man. You know? It's just one of those things that just makes sense to me.
One Tech is more techie than the other Tech.
Yeah.
I hated, I've never liked Virginia Tech because they were the somewhat blemish on that 90 Tech team's national title.
That was a tie. Yep.
Yeah, that was when it was the, but they called themselves, they weren't, didn't they, it was, weren't they like VPI then or something? Like,
they were.
They weren't Virginia Tech. They called themselves VPI.
Polytechnic?
Yeah,
what it was?
Yeah. Institute,
that's what Auburn used to be, Alabama Polytechnic. Until like the 60s, I believe.
Tech's the North Avenue Trade School, right?
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Defense. Can the Falcons fix this issue? Is it the Jimmies and Joes or is it the X's and O's,
well,
my friends?
What? I think it depends on which part you're talking about.
Well,
because
defending against the run, what are quarterbacks completing 72% of their passes against them as well?
Well, part of that's the fact that you play 7 yards off the ball. Your DBs play off, and that's part of the reason why you're not getting home with sacks, I think, is because you've played.
Well, that's Jimmy Lake's team. I mean, that's.
But I was going to say, it's also the reason you've been one of the best in the NFL at limiting explosive plays.
Exactly.
Until last week.
It's got to all come together.
Right.
If I said today that Baker Mayfield is going to go 18 of 24 again for 106, I think it was 180 yards, would you take it?
Well, it depends. Because they do have a three-headed monster in their backfield.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
Says Raheem Morris.
But they, well, I agree with him.
They started the season with their starter in one. He's really done a nice job. Ended up getting injured. They really had their young guy, number 7, going out there, really being productive. And he started off as a gimmick guy. Then he moved to a running back. Then he moved to an explosive guy. He had some really good plays against us. And then they really got open a couple weeks ago when they had some injuries and 44 stepped out there, really opened this game as a kickoff returner versus us. Then they opened up with a really big game versus New Orleans a couple weeks ago, and he's done nothing but be productive for those guys. So when you look at those guys, have a chance to get out there in their run game and really open it up with a bunch of guys that we know. I know Carb does a great job with those guys in the run game and their upfront people. They've really been productive in running the football the last couple of weeks, which I know was something that wasn't perceived strength for those guys in the beginning, which has become that.
I just love the fact, number 44, I'm like, who? A running back? Number 44?
He's stripping them of their humanity. They're just a number. We're all just numbers. We're all just livestock on this mortal coil.
I'm here for it. Number 44, the running back. Number 44. You're like, yes.
Dude, Robert Newhouse.
You just know that guy runs hard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to watch tape to know that he runs hard with the football.
Well, I guess that's good for Tampa Bay with Godwin and Mike Evans out. At least you can kind of pivot to their run game, focus on that. This is going to be a drastically different looking game than what we saw a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think both teams are going to try to run the football because I think both. I think they need they did it well last time, and they know they need to.
Yep.
We. And right, Raheem told Mike and Carl yesterday, he said, look, there were holes there we exploited last time. I don't think Todd will allow that to happen again. I think Todd will take that away. So I think you might go in here looking to see if they're trying to take away the pass game. If they are, I think you're going to try to run it down your throat with your two-headed monster. To that point, though, we have been better against the run the last 2 weeks. And in fact, last week, Seattle wanted to run the ball against
you. They did on their first drive, though.
They did, and then you shut it down after that. They're
one-dimensional outside of that.
But that's great. But they ran the ball 20-something times. They tried to run the ball, is my point, and they couldn't. And other than the one drive that A.J. picks off Andy Dalton against Carolina, they tried to run the ball, and they didn't really do it other than one drive. To me, that shows growth.
Yeah, I would be curious to see, just from a defensive standpoint, how many people were willing to commit to the blitz if we can find them in obvious passing downs. And what I mean by that is we have become so good at coverage and so good at tackling, it feels like, by some of our DBs. Now, I know a lot of people look at DK Metcalf last week and they're like, man, how can we let that happen? Like, okay, he had four catches. I know they were explosives, but he had four catches. You know, there's some thought out there about A.J. Terrell and, you know, his game the last couple of weeks. I get it. There's been a couple of issues. But my point being is that if you don't feel like that this is the receiver group that can give them explosives, all right, then maybe you trust your DBs a little more to make those one-on-one tackles if they're able to complete it and commit an extra guy to some of these blitz packages that you have and say, hey, we're going to bring one more than you can block. We're going to force Baker to get it out of his hands, all right, which means he has to throw it probably in front of the sticks, and we trust our guys to make those tackles in front of the first down marker. So I'll be honest, I have looked at our pass rush front, backwards, sideways, whatever it is, and I don't see it right now. And so my thought is that they're just going to have to continue to draw up ways in the sand to be able to get home because Judon's not getting there. Arnold Ebiketie is good as I think he's played.
He's being held every play, though, isn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, hey,
I'm the last person you want to ask about that. You know, hey, don't ask a lineman if the guy's
how
being
dare
held.
You, sir?
The problem for me is Judon is doing kind of what you would. He is doing kind of his job. He's getting held at times. He's also getting double teamed at times. And when that happens, that Ebiketie is winning, but he's not getting home. He overran a play, the touchdown pass to Kenneth Walker. Ebiketie wins, but he overran the play. And Geno stepped up and into a little gap and threw the football for the touchdown. Also, Rob, Mike, and I touched on this yesterday. If Troy Anderson comes back this week, I rotate Caden Ellis and Ebiketie and that other edge rusher spot and leave just Troy and Nate Lambin in the middle of the play.
Well, I don't agree with that necessarily because Raheem talked about this. Arnold Ebiketie has played well. It's just that you don't see the things that you want him, that we want him to do, right? I mean, he's played well. When you look at some of the stunts, he folds back in well. He's getting pressures well. He's doing some of his other things well. It's just that we don't see him getting sacked, so we don't think he plays well. I would be concerned to take out a guy that we think is playing decently that Raheem has already talked about, PFF grade, whatever Raheem wanted to say. And to put somebody in a position they're not comfortable with because they might have more sacks. I don't necessarily think that correlates.
I'm not saying bench him. What I'm saying is when he comes out, he played 50% of the defensive snaps last week.
He had to.
Which is, to me, the perfect. And he played two less snaps than Matthew Judon. It's a good. I have no issue with that number. What I'm saying, though, is when he comes out, move Caden over. So that other 50% that Arnold's not getting off at edge. Let's see what Caden can do. Because when you run those, Caden Ellis does a really good job of the integrity of the passing lanes, the rush lanes. He stays in those. He doesn't ad lib. He does exactly what you ask him to do. That's the only reason why when we see breakdowns at times in those pass rush lanes, if he stays in it when he's on the field in that situation, could that equal a sack or two more?
Play comes to him, basically, just because he stays at home.
Well, and to Rob's earlier point, I think the conversation is, can you get them in obvious passing downs to kind of unleash a Caden Ellis in that? Because I do think differently. To me, the value that Caden Ellis would hold, if we're going to put a Nate Lambin, Troy Anderson package at linebacker, to me, the value that Caden Ellis would hold would be to take out one of the interior guys and walk him up and say the B gap and run pick stunts with him and Arnold Ebiketie on the same side. To me, there's a lot of value in that. The problem is, in order to do that and take out one of the bigs, you have to be in like third and six plus, right? And I don't know how the game plan will play out with the way that they know they have to play and with a vastly improved offensive line that they have and the three-headed attack at running back. I don't know that we'll find them in many situations like that. So we're going to have to keep the extra defensive tackles in. You're going to have to hope that David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett and company can run some of these stunts and get home.
Well, Justin Simmons is a guy that we've watched on film that when he comes in the box, he's very good at playing in the box, okay? He's physical down there. He's not afraid to put you on the ground. So maybe do you sneak him down in some situations where you look at the right personnel, you see a personnel matchup that they've come on the field with, and you just say, all right, Justin, get down, you know, you call them in that box and you let them eat.
Yeah. I don't, and the thing is, all the situations we're talking about, scenarios, they're all going to play out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not something where we're going to look at and say, well, you know, the theme of the day is going to be to do this. They have to be able to do all of it, and they have to keep Liam Cohen, the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator, they have to keep him guessing. Because if they continue to go to some of the same things we're talking about, they'll just pick them apart. And it'll be much easier on them if they can kind of line up what we're going to do every third down.
This could be a 2.5-hour game on Sunday.
Well, I'm all for a 2.5-hour game because that means I get home early and hopefully sipping on some.
That means somebody was running a pill.
Victory whiskey.
Yeah, well, that could happen.
What?
All right, coming up next in the huddle, a couple of former Jets coaches in the news.
Know.
One has a new gig. The other wants another gig so badly. That's coming up in the huddle. It's a morning shift, Sports Radio, 99 game. Question for you guys. One arm or two arms? Drummer.
He has two here.
He has two here, yep.
How many do you know with one?
Well, he has one eventually.
It was right after Pyromania was released, I think 85, that's when Rick Allen was in that car wreck.
I got you. I was sitting there going, I mean, like, if the odds are he has two. I don't know.
Welcome back to the morning
show. They made a special drum kit for him.
Sports Radio. He designed it himself, which is kind of brilliant on his part, and good for him. Welcome back to the morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany. World Series Game 1 tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
You watching?
First pitch. It's a glamorous. I'll peek at it. It is kind of glamorous, nostalgic. And by the way,
it's a trick question because you'll be watching United against Miami.
I will.
Maybe he's got more than one TV. Maybe he's the Abe Gordon of the show.
Not really, no.
Abe's got a command
center. I'm not the Abe Gordon of anything. And coincidentally,
that might be a good thing, depending on what you're talking about.
Yo. 32 years ago today, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning, Otis Nixon lays down a bunt. Thrown out at first, Toronto wins the World Series over the Atlanta Braves.
Is there any better, worse way to lose, to have the final out end in the World Series than a bunt?
I remember that, so I was like, oh, good Lord. I knew the Braves didn't really have a chance that year. They should have won the year before against Minnesota. Should have won in 96, had no shot in 99 against the Yankees.
Yeah, they didn't. That was a bad year.
Yeah, it's a bad year. Hawks get the win last night to open the season 121-16 over the Brooklyn Nets. And it was a game that I thought I was watching 1996 basketball.
Oh, was it actually physical? Is that what you meant?
It was very, very physical.
I like
it. Clotheslined, yeah.
I love that kind of play.
Daniels almost he's almost decapitated by Nick Claxton.
Yeah, Nick, there was nothing not dirty about what Claxton did.
He wound up and he gave him a soup bone. He, like a lariat in professional wrestling. Lariat.
Might as well just two hands shoved him in the back as he went up. I mean, and what did you think was going to happen? I love that Dyson Daniels got back up in his face. That shows you something right there. You love to see that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, there was a few intricate details in that game last night that were worth kind of paying attention to. Obviously, Kobe Bufkin on the mend. Vic Krejci handling the ball a little bit when Trey's out. I think that he's one of my favorite. I'm gonna get the jersey that says Krejci on the back. You know
he's a
mean?
Little ball of energy at 6 foot eight, isn't he? He actually handles the ball pretty well. He's in the NBA for a reason.
I'm here for it. He's gritty. He's on like a 2-way contract last year and all these things. And like, yeah,
he's one of those guys just scratching and clawing to keep his gig in the NBA, and good for him.
Yeah, to your point, I thought Dyson Daniels was better handling the ball than I thought he would be. And look, I think that it was closer than a lot of people maybe wanted it to be, but you hit your free throws, and I think you're in a much better spot.
Yeah, they gave him a lot of second-chance shots. But Trey seems like he's playing the bearded Trey, by the way.
Mm. I'm a big fan of bearded Trey.
I like bearded Trey. Looks like he's playing with a little bit of joy, kind of unbridled, unburdened, and the assist.
He just looks more matured.
Beard will do that to you.
Yeah. It looks like he's 35 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look. Love it. The vibe that he's putting off, and I said this yesterday, Rob, it just – he feels freed.
Yep.
He feels confident, and he feels like it's you can tell he's taking ownership of this team, which is which is all I've ever asked for. It's all I've ever asked for from him is to take ownership of the team. You can tell he has. You love to see it. He's clearly. Did you see the way he reacted when Richichet
made his first three. Yeah, Richichet comes in the game. What, about 3 minutes left in the first, and immediately hits his first three. And the joy on Trey, he was happy for Zach, then Zach was happy for Zach, it seemed like.
That is beautiful. I love seeing it. I was like, man, that's what leaders do. It's cool. This is his team. He knows that. He's finally gotten rid of guys that he didn't get along with for whatever reason, or that they couldn't coexist, or however you want to put it out there.
I think also the fact that it seems like his peers aren't too fond of Trey. I think Trey's trying to rehabilitate his image. He's starting to worry about his legacy a little bit as well, because I need to grow up and take ownership of this team and do things the right way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Love to see it.
Love to see it. All right, let's go in the huddle. Got a couple of former Jets coaches in the news. Robert Saleh, he just popped up at another place. He joins Matt LaFleur in a fluid role. They're big-time buddies. Rex Ryan on coaching again. Hell yeah, I want to go back. I don't know if the NFL wants him back.
Well, you know, he was, I think, close to being in Dallas, but he basically said they wouldn't pay him what he wanted, and so he didn't do it. I can't imagine that he had any leverage in that conversation. I don't know what that sounded like.
Hey, I like his gig now. He certainly is opinionated. He doesn't hold back. I give him that.
Those veneers have given him new life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stop capping your teeth.
Those veneers have given him new life. No, I like the Saleh move too, man. Like, it's just one of those things where you look at a guy who has a lot of football knowledge, a lot of knowledge about the NFL, and you say, dude, I don't know what you're going to do yet, but we'd want you in the building. Awesome. I mean, think about how you would feel right now if you were a Falcons fan. They were like, hey, we're going to get Robert Saleh in the building to hang out with.
He's going to be like Nick Saban and start giving former coaches analyst roles.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's honestly what it feels like. Although, I will say, I just think when you have, especially on defense right now, I'd love to have, when you bring in guys with different perspectives, it can be awesome. They just have different ideas. And so I love the fact that, you know, he's already kind of bounced back, and I don't think this affects any of the money he's still going to be making, because it's a boatload from Woody Johnson and the Jets.
Yeah, look, good for him. It's a smart move. What did we talk about the other day? We talked about the Falcons. Zach Robinson is adding things to this offense, and you said it was in a good way. It's kind of how guys take from what they see, right? And what fits their
it's
system.
It's a copycat league.
Yeah.
It is.
So why not bring in a very, very good defensive mind like Robert Saleh and say, hey, what have you seen around the league, and maybe you did in New York, that might work with some of our personnel? Sometimes when you listen to others and you're open minded, it creates growth.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, different ideas.
Yeah, he's just sprinkling water on his defense, letting a little sunshine, and it's going to grow.
Trade deadline NFL 12 days away, Tuesday, November 5th, 4 p.m. And it's so funny, the trade deadline in NFL used to be an afterthought. Now it resembles Major League Baseball all the way. You've got a lot of wide receivers changing addresses. Cooper Kupp's name's being bannered about. That sounds glamorous, but he can't stay healthy, gentlemen.
There are some wide receiver needy teams that I think will take a look. It's just too much money. That's the bottom line. They want people to take on the contract for Cooper Kupp. He's due like $60 million over the next couple of years. I mean, it's just something outrageous that – I don't know if you can find some kind of partner to financially make it work, but they can't. Nobody can really afford to take on that entire salary, I don't think, with the risk involved.
It seems like the big thing now are guys going to be short-term rentals, or you go out and get a guy that's already kind of signed, is not going to throw a wrench into your salary cap.
It just seems like to me like wide receivers right now are closers in baseball. Like, you're just trading wide receivers, and like you're like, oh, we're going to make a playoff run. Let's get, you know, this guy here, that guy here. And they're like the closer, but those and edge rushers, like wide receivers and edge rushers right now, closers in bullpen depth in baseball. When you go to the deadline, you go, well, we think we're good, but man, we could use some help on the back end of that bullpen to be able to get it done. And then you trade for a closer and he takes you the distance.
I know Terry Fontenot's on the phone. You guys think anything's going to happen? Who's out there? This could be maybe some second tier guys could maybe be impactful. I don't think you're going to have somebody that's going to come in and just be dominant.
If something happens, it would be great. I also think if nothing happens, don't be the guy that says, why didn't they do anything? Because you know good and well that he tried to.
He tried.
I know that Josh Uche in New England is a name that's been linked to the team. Now, it's been linked not by anyone inside the NFL circle.
No.
But it's just a name that is out there that could you go back? He would walk in here and I think he would lead our team with 2 sacks this year. But
we got D'Angelo Malone to
and a 7th. Don't forget the 7th. Very important. And now we're losing a special teams ace if that happened with D'Angelo Malone. He's been very good.
He probably actually
teams.
Holds some value when you look at some of these playoff teams. Here's what I'll say, Rob, to your point, to your question. Raimondi and ESPN, all the ESPN writers kind of had a list yesterday of potential trades. Raimondi said the name he brought up is actually Richie Grant. because Richie Grant is a guy that's played some good football in the NFL, and some teams need safety help, but he probably holds some value if you want to go out and get something. The name that was brought up kind of coming into Atlanta by Walder on ESPN on this article was actually wide receiver Christian Kirk.
Yeah,
which I was like, I don't even know how that would even fit. But
was that the article where he's talking about Ray McLeod hasn't he mentioned him as this would be an upgrade over Ray. That's what it was. Yeah, I saw that.
Let me ask you a question. Does he watch the Falcons play, or has he read the stat line of Ray McLeod? Because you can say whatever you want about Ray McLeod, but he has been clutch. He has
been pretty good, I thought.
A ton of third downs. He's been in the first few games of the season, he was the only guy getting open, I felt like.
That's what I was thinking when I read that. I go, has this guy watched the Falcons this year?
I didn't take it as a knock on Ray McLeod's play. Not how I kind of looked at it.
Let me tell you something. You're going to bring in Christian Kirk, who is making 18. His average annual value is $18 million now, and he's got another year left?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't agree with it. I just didn't take it as a knock on Ray. I just think that it is what it is. When you look at explosive plays and explosive players, it never hurts to add one.
That just screams, I don't watch the Falcons play. I haven't watched. I read some stats. I knew that. And this is what I'm going
to
go with.
Had a deadline. Had to put something out there.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw crap on
a
wall.
We're miking you up, Mike.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit. Obviously, there's more stories around the NFL. There is another starting quarterback, and it's just the same as the old over in Carolina right now. And also, Squid Billy, we've been talking about it, man. He is expecting. He's starting to show a little bit. What is the name going to be of the little Squidette? Well, I've got some ideas. You don't want to miss
Damien.
Yeah, don't want to miss it. Coming up on the other side. It's Mic'd Up, Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Want a smart, lasting, clean? Well, Zero Res. 8:30 tomorrow night in Miami, Atlanta United. This improbable appearance into the playoffs. They were an afterthought for me, I got to admit. But hearing a jubilant Mike Conti the other night talking trash to the people in Montreal, that was blissful. Hawks get the win last night over
Sorry
Brooklyn.
You lost, but have a good drive home.
Oh, so good.
That guy played for Tiffany yesterday and which one Wednesday.
It's fantastic. It was on this day in 1979, Yankees manager Billy Martin punched out a marshmallow salesman in a barroom brawl. I don't blame him. Those guys are the worst.
Billy Martin, man.
Like who sells marshmallows? Like I don't understand.
That guy punched out.
Whose job is that well defined? You know what I mean? Like I could see a candy salesman or like no marshmallows.
He found a niche, brother.
I mean, man.
Well, maybe he worked for a marshmallow company.
Georgia on a bye week. Georgia Tech up there in Blacksburg at noon on Saturday. Falcons, Buccaneers, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Falcons a 2.5-point favorite in that.
Can I correct something I made a mistake on earlier? We were talking about Georgia Tech playing VPI this weekend.
It wasn't VPI.
It wasn't VPI that they tied that year. They actually beat them 6-3. It was VPI. They were still VPI.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But it was North Carolina that they tied.
It was
13.
That's right.
It was 13-all.
Right.
So I just want to apologize.
Let's do those hiccups. That's year of the fifth down for Colorado, too.
We apologize to VPI, or who we apologize to? The people?
The Georgia Tech fans out there that probably are up in arms.
All right.
Well, they opened up a can on Nebraska in that bowl game.
Oh, did they ever. Sean Jones was one of my favorite college players of all time.
That was just a loaded team. Fantastic team. All right.
Speaking of one of my favorite college players of all time, Bryce Young, back in the saddle for Carolina this weekend after the Andy Dalton, I guess it's a thumb injury that he had from his car accident.
Yeah, he sprained his thumb. What's the problem?
Well,
tape an aspirin to it.
There's not a problem. My question was going to be for you guys. Bryce Young. All right, he gets this, I don't want to call it a second chance, but this year he's getting thrust back in his role. Like, if y'all are Bryce Young, what's your mentality going into this game? Like, that was my first, I'm like, are you just going out there going, I'm about to let this thing eat. Like, I'm going to straight up Gardner Minshew, Uncle Rico this thing down the field. or are you like, you know, I'm like last year's Sam Howell in Washington, you know what I mean? He's like, I'm going to throw four picks, but I'm going to get about 400 yards.
I hope he just says to hell with it.
You know what I mean? Just lets it ding.
Let it go.
We talked.
Trust your eyes, Bryce.
We saw him after the game that we were up there other week, and he's such a nice, humble,
soft-spoken,
polite. I don't call
very slight figure.
I hate to call him a kid, but human being, he is awesome. Yeah, I hope he goes out there with that
mentality. You see that video footage of him walking into the facility with the backpack on? He looked like a high school junior.
Yeah. He did. And honestly, look, I kind of joke about him being one of my favorite college players, although he was. He's up there. He was a joy to watch at Bama. But when he was drafted first overall and people would ask me, like, oh, man, Bryce, he's going to ball out in the NFL. I'm like, dude, I hope so. But it's like you look at natural talent other than the cerebral. Like, look at natural physical talent. And you're like, I've never seen a first overall pick like that. You know, it's just not usually what you think of when you think of first overall picks. It's kind of the opposite of like a Myles Garrett, you know what I mean? Like just chiseled out of stone. So speaking of just natural instincts, let's talk about Squid's kid.
Or chiseled out of stone.
All right, so yeah, if you haven't heard, Bo is with child.
Apparently there was one person out there that still didn't know, Martin Zinno.
Shout out to the Zen House.
He wouldn't have been making bold predictions about Georgia and Texas. He would have known.
Yeah, so this article pops up yesterday, and the headline
You're
is like...
You're a fertile little thing, aren't you?
Hey.
He only needed one shot at that.
That one
the
shot.
Opportunity showed itself.
I did not
and
throw,
Bo was like, I'm in
not,
there.
I did not throw up mom's spaghetti.
Yeah.
And he's ovulating right now as we speak as well.
So this article pops up yesterday, and it's like, Sarah has fallen out of the rankings in terms of most popular names after 60 years.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, wow, maybe Michael's fallen out too. And I looked at it and like, no, it's like at 20. I was like, man, that sucks. I'm ready for that one to go by way of the White Buffalo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired of the Michaels around here. There's like six just at this station. I need to come up with an alter ego. Maybe I'll just go by Mikey P from now on. But anyways, the conversation then kind of switches. I was actually talking to my dad about this. And my dad brings up the fact that, you know, Michael, this, that, and the other, like it was a good name back then. I'm like,
and your
yeah,
dad's
cool.
a funny, whimsical dude, too,
funny
right?
Funny dude, man. Yep. Witty. So he starts talking about how we've always named our cars in my family. He's like, you know, yep. we've just always, like, my truck's name is Denarius. It's the Denali truck. It's the Denarius, the Denali. He calls, he has an old Cadillac Escalade truck, and it's called Pearl, because that's just the color of it. You know what I mean? And I was thinking to myself, Bo, I wonder how y'all are doing on the name front. Now, I don't want to know the name. I don't want you to publicize it. All I want to know is, have you narrowed it down to just a few, or are y'all still just wide open?
Just name it like the way celebrities name their kids, just weird stuff.
She has...
yeah, like a direction.
She has a couple. She has a list that she's given me. She has a name that she likes the most.
Southeast Morgan.
I'm not sold or out. I'm not either way. Okay. I'm still in the middle.
This is perfect.
I think Cersei Morgan would be a great name.
Yeah, you like that?
But
all right, this is Cersei. Perfect. All right, so here's what I want to know. First of all...
Please welcome to the stage, Cersei.
Are there any... Yeah. Chastity Morgan. Are there any names that have been, like, is there any, like, not names specific, but just any parts of names that have been rolled out? And let me explain this. When we were picking names, any first name that ended in S-O-N, we ruled out because that backed up to Johnson didn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like Branson Johnson. You're not, no.
Like, I
kind of
like
work,
that.
Right?
That sounds like a city or something.
Yeah. So we weren't going to do that. Anything
NASCAR driver.
Like, are you, would you be on board with, like, does it need to start with an M? Like Mila Morgan or Maya Morgan?
No, I have thought that we could just name the kid Morgan and then it'd just be like
Morgan,
one
Morgan?
Name. No, just one name. Just
can you imagine
America's
the advertising possibilities
firm.
You would have
Dude,
for her for Morgan
so awesome.
Morgan, America's largest injury law firm? You'd just be like, hey, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9. The year is 2052. My name is Morgan Morgan, brought to you by
Morgan and Morgan.
So you haven't ruled out anything.
Morgan Zero
is what
res.
You're trying to say.
No, we've ruled out names. Like if I dated a girl with a name, it's out. If I watched her dance on a stage at one point in time, that name is out.
Man, poor Destiny.
I know.
This is one of those things that is so hard, man. So I just wanted to check in on the name front. Let me give you the top girls' names for this year. Olivia,
okay.
Amelia.
Hold
Emma.
On. Okay. I think Olivia might be on her list.
Olivia. Okay. That's number one. Amelia, Emma, Sophia, Charlotte.
I can't name it Charlotte.
Can't name it Charlotte. Isabella, Ava, Mia, Ellie, and Luna.
So
those
Ava
are,
and
10.
Ellie are both out because those are my niece's names.
Okay.
My three nieces.
And Ellie.
And Kate is
Caitlin
and Kate is out because that's my niece's name as well.
And
my neighbor's name.
Some of these names I'm shocked to see are on top. Like the number five boy name is Mateo.
Like that's a terrible name.
Like,
I knew a Mateo.
You can't say in the microphone that's a terrible name.
Oh, yeah,
like, there's people out there listening named Mateo.
Well, yeah. Hold on. I have a dislike for that name because I knew a person I didn't like very well.
It was somebody famous named Mateo. Maybe it was one of the Bella twins or something.
My friend, I was actually the best man at his wedding.
Mateo?
Their child is named Mateo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
What's your buddy's name?
His name is Jonathan.
Yeah, not Caitlin.
Jonathan, it's a great name. I apologize.
Shout out, JJ.
If you go to the Grove at Ole Miss and yell out the name Caitlin, 55 girls will turn around, so there's a lot of them out
there. Here's my final question about this. I don't want to press you too much.
Oh,
and this is a very personal decision.
This is going to get me in trouble, you know.
Can we, on the show, make a bracket? Can we make a name bracket? And kind of maybe just seed the top 20 options, and we just work down from there.
Let me give you the realest answer I can give you. You know my wife.
Right.
Your wife knows my wife.
Sure.
If you want to do that, you arrange that. I want nothing to do with it because I'm not going to go to her with that.
Okay.
She has to give permission because
the bracket challenge.
I don't want.
You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something about me. I screw up enough in my relationship that I don't need another thing to be to put myself in the doghouse. Yeah. All right. I do that well enough on my own.
16 seed Violet facing off against 1 seed Olivia would just be the showdown.
Well,
of the
I can
century.
Tell you, Violet is not in.
Okay.
All right. Olivia, all right. I do like that name. I wonder if I could go to the floor with Olivia.
Well, you know, my daughter's name is Drew. Drew Ann. So Drew's like an NIA school then.
How do you spell it?
D-R-E-W.
Yeah. My buddy David said you should name her Guten. That way in German it says good morning.
Oh, I thought he said gluten at first. I was like,
Guten Morgen.
You know what? I'm done with this.
I'm weak. Oh, man. Let's do it.
That's pretty funny, man.
That's been mic'd up.
Well, well, well. We have one Rusty Manziel warming up in the bullpen, going to join us. That's always fun. That one segment's never enough for Rusty Manziel.
It isn't, man.
It's such a tease, a tantalizing, titillating tease with Rusty Manziel coming up next on The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.